Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I am your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, please stick around and be a short time of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and absolutely no manipulation. Because we don't con people. We're not trying to hustle money. We're not going to ask you to join up, give up, fess it up, nothing like that. But we will ask you to listen up to a few minutes of motivation and inspiration and education. My job is to verify and identify the plan of God for you, and your job, if you would like to do it, is to orient and adjust the plan. That's always up to you. But every Sunday we're on this radio station with this radio show, currently playing 82 shows across America, and what a great opportunity this is for me. I thank you for listening. Thank you for giving me a few moments of your time. I promise you today will be an interesting show. These are times when believers like you and I, we wonder if God really sits on his throne, don't you? I mean, we see what's going on across this country, and we have that thought. Is he aware of this? We yearn for God's justice to vindicate us and right the wrongs we've suffered as Americans. And when we've been taken advantage of personally or even nationally, we want to seek revenge. That's because human, we do that. We want to be vindictive and get even and seek revenge. I used to have a friend that would put names in the book, and he said, I'm going to put your name in the book, and I'm going to get even with you. That's not ever God's plan. When whole groups of people like Christians, you and I, when persecuted for their beliefs or even maligned because of insults and condemnations based on what they believe or don't believe, then it's time to put it in the Lord's hands. It's time to take a step back. If you're persecuted for what you believe in, if you're being maligned or mischaracterized as evil, it's always hard to take, especially if you're part of that group. So you ask yourself, does God really care? Does he really care? Is God really aware of these things that I'm facing in my life and the things that I'm going through? You can ask yourself that question. Does God care about you, the things I'm speaking to you about on this radio show right now? And you misunderstand, you're not to take justice in your own hands. You're not to seek relief through any sort of violence or any sort of political disturbance. Proverbs 11:21 has our answer for us. Assuredly, the evil man will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be delivered. Proverbs 11:21. Assuredly, the evil man will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be delivered. This verse means there's comfort in God's plan. There is always God's just retribution for evil people, and that's a certainty. By way of application for you and me, all evil presents conspiracy. All evil, present and past, are conspiracies known to God. So he's the one that knows the real facts. He's the one that really knows what's going on. So relax and apply the word of God. Apply this verse very seriously in the days to come. Assuredly, Proverbs 11:21, the evil man will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be delivered. Recognize when God's at work in this world, and he is at work. Recognize that he's the punisher of the unjust and the deliverer of the just. Evil will not go forgotten, and evil will not go unpunished by God. I'm quoting that from my own pastor, R.B. Thame III, who said those words last Sunday morning after communion. I thought that was really great because it goes right in line with what I'm telling you today. I'm trying to give you comfort and boost your faith in God's plan for you at this time. So I want to tell you that there is a court. It's an amazing court. It's called the Supreme Court of Heaven, and it operates 24 hours a day. So let's get some principles down for that so you can remember it. One, there is a Supreme Court of Heaven. And that court is the last court of appeals in all of human history. You can see it in Revelation chapter 20. And it's also the court for personal justice for the individual believer like you and I. It's a court that where God administers both personal and collective justice. So the Supreme Court of Heaven is open 24 hours a day. When you have a complaint, you can go to the Supreme Court of Heaven and present that complaint. Who resides over that court? Who's in charge of the court of heaven? Well, it's Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom all judgment has been committed. You say, where did that come from? John 5:22-27. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. And he gave him, verse 27, authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. So this Supreme Court of Heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the throne fulfills the principle that you've heard me say, Jesus Christ controls history. He's well aware of what's going on in this country. He's well aware of what's going on in your life, and he controls history. So the Supreme Court of Heaven that we're talking about has the highest jurisdiction, and it can overrule Satan's authority as the ruler of this world, who we know he is. We know this is his world, but we know he's the ruler of this world. He even offered to give it to the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 4 if he would just worship him, and that didn't happen. So Satan is subject to this court as well as you and I. That's the reason that history continues. In spite of the fact that Satan is the ruler of this world, Jesus Christ is the court ruler, Supreme Court of Heaven, and he controls human history. As goes his desire, so goes history. Therefore, in the rise and fall of nations like Rome or Egypt or the Assyrians or the Babylonians or the Persians, there are no accidents. There's no prejudice on God, no favoritism. Only the function of perfect divine justice. And please remember this, what the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges every time. Nothing slipped by God. You may think it slipped by God, but it didn't. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth, the Bible tells us, and nobody gets away with anything. So point seven, Satan constantly brings accusations in heaven against believers. He may be accusing you before the Supreme Court of Heaven. You can read about that in Zechariah 3:1, where the Bible says, he showed me Joshua, the high priest, in the times of Haggai. Then he showed me Joshua, this is a vision Zechariah had, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand. The angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ. And there's Satan standing there trying to accuse Joshua. In Revelation 12:10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. This is Satan's job. He's an accuser. He is always your opponent. He's always your adversary. And I got to remind you that he's not omnipotent and omnipresent. He's a created being. He can only be one place at one time. And when you tell people that Satan's trying to get you or Satan's after you, do not forget that you have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if you're not able to get victory over your own flesh, and if you're not able to get victory over the lure of the world, why in the world would Satan even worry with you? Because he doesn't have time to come over to your part of town and bug you. He's going back and forth to heaven, accusing. And that's what he does. So remember that. Now, we have a defense attorney in these accusations. Whenever Satan goes to accuse someone, and I'm sure he has a whole list in heaven, he goes to accuse someone before the Supreme Court of Heaven, the Lord functions as our defense attorney. Listen to 1 John 2:1-2. My dear children, I keep writing these things to you in order that you may not sin. However, if anyone sins, we keep on having a defense attorney before the Lord. That's Jesus Christ, the righteous one, and he is the propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the entire world. There it is. When we sin, we fail. Remember, sin comes in three areas: something we say, something we think, something we do. And you may feel guilty about sinning, but remember that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for all of your sins on the cross. That doesn't give you the right to sin, because your sin will break your fellowship with God, but you won't lose your relationship. But Satan in the Supreme Court of Heaven would like to use you as a witness for the defense. And our Father uses you as a witness for the prosecution. And so we have our Lord interceding for you when you fail, when I fail, and I fail a lot more than you, I promise you. When I fail, the Lord Jesus Christ, if my name is brought up as an accusation, like, look at that Rick, look what he's doing, look at him now. And you call that a man of God? Look what a loser he is. Then the Lord Jesus Christ simply says, nope, he's one of mine. He's believed in me. I died for him. He's accepted my death, burial, and resurrection. You have no right to charge him. So, here's what you need to remember. If the Lord Jesus Christ is handling your complaints, you cannot come as a plaintiff yourself before the Supreme Court of Heaven if you have any bitterness in your soul. Bitterness is a sin. It's a terrible sin. It's a mental attitude sin. And it's related to the order of all three of those arrogant skills that we call self-justification, self-deception, and self-absorption. Bitterness is always related to the order of those arrogant skills, and it requires you to use the arrogant skills. So if you're bitter today, you might as well not go before the Supreme Court of Heaven and lay your complaint before the Lord, because the problem is your own personal sin. You will wind up being judged rather than asking the Lord to clear the tablet off for you, someone judging you. So the hardest thing for me and you to take, the hardest thing for us to accept, is injustice. Those are always the greatest challenges to our spiritual life. Have you ever been accused of something that you didn't do? Injustice. And people in authority make mistakes. If you're a parent, you may have judged one child for something they did not do. When the other child did it, maybe Mary did it and Sally got the whipping. Or if you're in school, maybe someone else did the problem and you got in trouble for it because you wouldn't tell on them. Injustice, and we get mad about our injustice. We get mad about how we're treated with injustice. It's our greatest challenge to our spiritual growth. If you're a Christian, you might not like what's going on in the political arena, and you may say that's unjust. Well, these injustices are going to occur. And what you and I must do is we must put them in the hands of the Lord and turn them over to the Supreme Court of Heaven. And do not try to solve the problem ourselves by trying to get even or trying to hurt someone. And that means physical violence. It could be social character assassination. It could be political revenge or even using the public lie. That is not our job. When we are treated unjust, we go to the Supreme Court of Heaven. We leave it in the Lord's hand, and we keep our mouth shut. And don't complain, don't criticize, don't try to get even. All decisions of the Court of Heaven are compatible with God's perfect righteousness. He's not unwise. He knows exactly what's going on. He's incorruptible, he's perfect, and he's fair. And he is the one who judges. And he's never, ever, ever rendered a wrong decision. In all the trillions and trillions of decisions that the Lord Jesus Christ has rendered, not one has ever been unfair or incorrect, because it is impossible for perfect God to render a bad decision on our behalf. It's impossible for a perfect God to render a bad decision as a judge. You know, sometimes men are thrown into prison and women for something they didn't do, and 20 or 30 years later it comes up through some sort of test, proves them innocent, and they let them out. Well, no one's going to go to the lake of fire and then get out because God was unfair and made a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. He's a perfect judge based on his omniscience. He knows everything. There's nothing you can hide from God. So if you will let him handle all decisions, because you don't have all the facts, if you don't have all the facts, you're liable to get mad, you're liable to get vindictive, you're liable to get bitter. And you're liable to run your mouth when you should have just kept your mouth shut. And I'm going to show you in a minute where you bring discipline on yourself for criticizing and maligning people that treat you unfairly. God can administer all the penalties, all the decisions, everything demanded by his own perfect righteousness. And that's taught in a lot of different passages in the Bible. So remember, when the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, this means retribution is his. So if you want to have an unhappy life, all you have to do is to get in the middle of that. If you want to have an unhappy life, all you have to do is seek revenge or be vindictive or be implacable and try to hurt somebody else that hurts you. And you'll wind up being the one that gets hurt. Because God's justice, the Supreme Court of Heaven, doesn't need any help in dealing with unfairness or in dealing with injustice that comes to us. And under no circumstances are you ever to assume judgment yourself. Matthew 7 talked about this. Listen carefully. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you again. So why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You are a hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This is called triple compound discipline. Don't judge, or you will be judged. Here's what we're saying. First of all, when you stick your nose in the middle of God's business, like the old proboscis monkey, you don't know what that is? It's a monkey that has a nose about 2 feet long. If you stick your nose in God's business, you're going to get it chopped off, I promise you. Don't judge. Don't pass sentence. Don't assume. Don't say, I know why he did that, because he's like this. No, you don't know anything. Don't judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, quoting now, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be given back to you. So first of all, if you judge another person, even though they did a sin towards you or treated you unjustly, if you get in the way of the Supreme Court of Heaven, first of all, you're going to be judged for your personal sin of bitterness or anger or implacability. That's your judgment. Secondly, listen again to this verse. The same way in which you measured, it will be measured back to you again. This is simply telling you this, that whatever that person is guilty of, that sin and that punishment will be taken off of him, given to you, and you will get it. And then the third thing is you will have self-induced misery. So you're going to get discipline for your sin. You're going to get discipline for his sin that he should have got because you stuck your nose in the middle of God's business, and you're going to be miserable. That's why this verse says you are a hypocrite. Take the plank out of your own eye first, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. If you can't see clearly, it's because you don't have any wisdom. You don't have any discernment and insight. Wisdom comes from knowledge of the Word of God in your soul, a wonderful problem-solving device called doctrinal orientation. If you don't have the mind of Christ, you don't have the wisdom to determine anything. So the plank in your own eye, in your very own eye, the board, the 2x4 sticking out of your eye, is your own prejudice and your own bitterness and your own failure to use impersonal love, problem-solving device number 8. As a personal problem-solving device, impersonal love. What that means is that you can turn it over to the Supreme Court of Heaven, and you can love an individual based on who you are, not based on who they are. I mean, how are you supposed to love a guy that steals from you? How are you supposed to love a guy that fornicates with your wife? How are you supposed to love a guy that maligns you and criticizes you and puts you down and steps on your back to get to the top? You use impersonal love. You love him based on who you are, not based on who he is. This is exactly what God did for you. When the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, he loved you with impersonal love. He loved you based on his character, not your character. You were not lovable. But once you believed in Christ, once his righteousness was accredited to you, then God can now love you with personal love because you're now part of the royal family. You're now his son, his child. So keep that in mind. You have to use impersonal love as a problem-solving device so that you don't get yourself in a jam from judging someone else and getting mad and getting bitter. If you react to that, see, this is what you can do in any situation. You can react or you can respond. It's really up to you. If you react with hatred and seek vindication and seek revenge, thus your hatred for that individual or that political party even can lead you into middle attitude sins as well as malice. Malice, that's the desire to hurt someone or harm someone. The Bible tells you in Ephesians 4, 30 and 31, don't do that. So hatred, that can happen if you take everything personal. Write it off. Turn it over to the Supreme Court of Heaven. Move on. Don't dwell on it. I mean, do you actually think that you could do a better job judging than God did? You think you know more than God in judging the evil person or the evil organization and what they did or what they did to you? Just remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ died for everybody. Excuse me. He died for all races and for all denominations and for all political parties. He gave his life to atone all, not just the people that we like. So we stand down. We confess our sin of bitterness, our sin of implacability, and as the Bible tells us, we pray for our enemies. You know, self-righteous arrogance is blind. You won't see yourself as you really are. You'll see yourself as you think you are. Self-righteous arrogance is blind and fragmented. Therefore, when you go to the Supreme Court of Heaven to get justice, and that justice results in what you wind up getting as the guilty party because you didn't keep your mouth shut. You ran that person down. You ran that organization down. You ran that party down. You got on the Internet and sent out little nasty letters or sent out little nasty notes or said nasty things. And now you're the one getting judged because you didn't keep your mouth shut. As a victim of injustice, you must not become vindictive. You must not become implacable. You must not get bitter or seek revenge by trying to vilify someone, because then you're in trouble. If you'll just go right to the Supreme Court of Heaven immediately, the Supreme Court of Heaven will handle it, and you take the monkey off your back, and you don't have to worry about it, and you can relax. These people that do this, you need to rebound instead of going to the Supreme Court of Heaven. If we get mad, we get angry, we get bitter, we should confess our sin first instead of going right to the Supreme Court of Heaven. So if you're a victim of injustice, as I have been or you have been, we have one of two options. The option of the faith rest drill as a plaintiff to the Supreme Court of Heaven, standing on the promises of God, keeping our mouth shut. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against you can ever harm you, never hurt you. This is the inheritance of the Lord. That's a great verse. So you could use the faith rest drill. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible for you. Or you can react with mental attitude sins. You can react with verbal sins. And you can give in to the temptation to seek revenge and to get even. And when you do that, you're going to be judged. So before you react to any injustice, before you react to unfairness that you faced, before you begin to slander somebody for their misrepresentation of you, for their maltreatment of you, before you begin to vilify their character and assassinate them in some form because of what they said about you, remember this. There is a Supreme Court in heaven, and the truth is that you may not think you're the plaintiff. But the truth is, you may not think you are the plaintiff, but in reality, you wind up being the defendant because you came before the Supreme Court of Heaven full of mental attitude sins, judging and bitterness, and you wind up getting judged. Matthew 7:1-7. Take your Bible, read it carefully, pray over it, and see what we're talking about. If you have to complain, do not complain to others. Do not complain, period. The Bible is clear about that. James 5:9. Do not complain against one another so that you may not be judged because the judge is standing at the door. Did you hear that? Do not complain against one another so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Philippians 2:4. Do not complain. You know, if you have bitterness in your soul, which is an arrogant skill, it will motivate you to complain, and it will destroy you. All people who habitually complain are bitter people because they have no self-esteem. Most people think you have a right to complain, but you don't. Complaining becomes a habit to those who habitually think only of themselves first. Philippians 2:13-14, for God the Holy Spirit works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure, so do all things without complaining. Without whining, without fault-finding, without grumbling, without dissatisfaction, without murmuring, without griping, without irritation. Do all things without complaining or without strife. Why? So that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you should appear as light in the world. That's what our Lord said in Matthew 5. You are the light to the world. Matthew 5:11, happy are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. I don't think I can get any clearer than that. One of the reasons you're unhappy today is you haven't turned it over to the Supreme Court of Heaven. You try to handle it yourself. You're mad, you're angry, you're upset because of something that's happened politically or personally or physically. Unless you can get rid of that bitterness and that mental attitude sin, unless you turn it over to the Supreme Court of Heaven, you're never going to be happy, and you're going to be continuously judged by God for doing what it's His job to do. Do not stick your nose into God's business. Stay out of it. Let the Supreme Court of Heaven handle it. He's perfectly capable of handling the unfair treatment that you've gone through in your life. He's perfectly capable of handling everything that's going on in America today. Things that you may or may not like, He will handle it. He knows what's right. He knows what's wrong. He knows who's evil. He knows who's not evil. He knows who's lying. He knows who's scheming. He knows who's told the public lie. He knows all that. And nobody will get away with anything. So relax. Sit back. Watch what God does. You could actually have a sense of humor and say, these poor suckers don't have a clue what's coming their way. Because God will not tolerate evil. Evil will not win. God knows what's going on. He's always aware of what's going on. And He will make those final decisions in that judgment. Are you listening? Are you learning? I hope you are. You can always contact me at rick@rickhughesministries.org. Or get on the website, rickhughesministries.org, and order any material that we offer. This radio show will be available again if you need to hear that. Just let us know. But I hope you're paying attention, and I hope you're learning, and I hope you're growing. And I hope, above all, you're reflecting Jesus Christ's love through your life. So until next week, I'm your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next few minutes, you have an invitation to stick around. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education. But absolutely, I promise, no manipulation. We're not going to con you. We're not going to try to solicit money. We're not going to ask you to join anything. All we would like to do is give you some accurate information. Information that I hope will help you verify as well as identify God's plan for your life. That's what this show is about. It's the FLOT line, F-L-O-T. That's a military acronym for the Forward Line of Troops. What we're trying to teach on the FLOT line is how there are some wonderful problem-solving devices found in the Bible. And if you will learn these 10 problem-solving devices, we call them a FLOT line, they will act as a main line of resistance in your soul so you can stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside source of stress. That's why we always say adversity is, of course, inevitable, but stress is optional. Because adversity is what those circumstances do to you, and stress is what you do to yourself. So you might ask yourself, how could these radio shows benefit me? We're in a lot of new radio markets right now. Over 100 stations across America are playing the show this morning. And some people, it's a legitimate question. How can this show benefit me? Fair question. Here's the answer. As I expand and add additional shows, I take comfort in God's grace provisions. He always provides what I need. But the objective is to feed you the Word of God, not to make you wealthy financially. We're not promoting some kind of financial program. But listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthly vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power of God will be not from us, not from ourselves, but of God. There is a treasure for you to learn. It's in the New Testament. It's called a thesaurus. You know that word. A thesaurus is a book you look up words. And the treasure is a thesaurus in the Greek word. It's a word treasure. There is a word treasure found in the Bible for you. And if you learn God's word, it will make you rich spiritually. So Colossians 2:3 says that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth. There it is, wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding and resulting in a true knowledge of the mystery of God, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The wealth I'm talking about is the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge gives you insight and discernment that other people don't have. And it's a wonderful thing to have biblical wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:13, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For the profit of wisdom is better than the profit of silver, and the gain of wisdom is better than fine gold, because wisdom is more precious than jewels, and nothing can compare with wisdom. This is exactly what God said in Jeremiah. He said, I'm looking for people that know me and understand me. And understanding is one of the horsemen of wisdom. Wisdom, insight, understanding, and discernment. God wants you to understand him. This means that God operates under a word I'm going to teach you today called protocol. P-R-O-T-O-C-O-L, protocol. And protocol simply means that a right thing has to be done in a right way, or it's wrong. And when I played college football, I was given a playbook, and I was told to learn those plays. And if I did not know the plays, it didn't make any difference how big I was, how strong I was, how handsome I was. It didn't make any difference how fast I was. If I did not know the plays, I was not going to get in the game and be able to perform. God requires you to know the plays. He requires you to understand protocol when you're dealing with him. That's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. That means you could be a starter on God's team. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. So the word study is a verb, and it's not a request. It's actually a mandate that we are to grow, another verb, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can't grow if you don't study. You can't grow by taking a Bible, going out and sitting in the woods, sitting under a tree, and contemplating infinity. That's not spiritual growth. If you're going to grow spiritually, you have to learn the Bible. And why is that necessary? Because here's what Jesus Christ said. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. We have to learn what he thought, how he lived his life. The unique life the Lord Jesus Christ left us is called the Christian life. He was the first one to live it. No one in the Old Testament lived it. That Christian life is made up of those 10 unique problem-solving devices that we'll talk about. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ never needed to use rebound, problem-solving device number one. He never needed to use that because he never sinned. And the rest of them, he did not need to use occupation with Christ because he was Christ. But those 10 unique problem-solving devices that we teach on this radio show are for you. They are designed for you so you can live your life with insight and understanding and discernment, called the wisdom of God. And you will spare yourself a lot of trouble. You will spare yourself a lot of misery if you learn wisdom from the Word of God. One of the things that people need wisdom about is in prayer. And I hear this. You hear it all the time as well. When something bad happens, people on the television or the radio will say, our thoughts and our prayers go out to you. Well, I hate to tell you this, but probably, in my humble opinion, at least 90% of the prayers that are prayed never get answered. Because they do a right thing, which is prayer, but they do it in the wrong way. And so it just seems to be a good luck statement now. We're praying for you. Or someone says, I prayed about it, and so I'm going to do it now because I prayed about it. And it's like, okay, well, what did God show you? Well, he showed me that I should do that anyhow. I prayed about it. Well, first of all, if God wants to speak to you, he's not going to do it out loud. He will do it through the Bible. He speaks through the Bible. And when you read and study the Bible, you can hear God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to you. Verses come alive. You can relate to certain verses. That's why we're going to study what the Bible says about prayer. Why sometimes your prayers never get answered. Because you may be doing the right thing. You may be praying, which you should do, but you may be doing it in the wrong way. So if you do a right thing in a wrong way, it's still wrong. If you do a right thing in a right way, then it's right, it's correct. And God wants your prayers to be answered. I can assure you of that. He said, call upon me and I'll show you great and mighty things. But if you don't do it in the right way, it's not going to get past the ceiling of your house or past the roof of your car or past the foot of your bed. It's just noise. So let me give you some reasons why prayer might not be answered. Here's one. If you're praying and you have known sin in your life, your prayer will not be answered. If you're praying with known sin in your life, your prayer will not be answered. Now, let's determine what sin is. Sin can be something you think, sin can be something you say, or sin can be something that you do. A mental attitude sin would be worry, fear, bitterness, jealousy, implacability, irritability. A sin that you think, those are sins in the mind. You can think sin. You don't even have to get out of your chair. You can sin in your chair. You can lust in your chair. And then there's sins of the tongue, like gossip, slander, maligning, criticizing, backbiting, lying. And then there are overt sins, like stealing, murder, fornication, adultery. These sins, when you commit a sin, you break fellowship with God if, in fact, you are a Christian. But I can assure you of this, if you're not a Christian, you'll never get a prayer to God until you go through Christ. Because He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. So if you aren't a believer in Jesus Christ, the first prayer that you can ever pray that would be answered is Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone who's not a Christian and who prays that prayer, Heavenly Father, I know I'm lost. I know I'm not a Christian. I'm willing to receive Christ as my Savior. When you pray a prayer similar to that, according to this verse, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You are brought into the royal family of God by faith alone in what Christ did alone. It's faith alone in Christ alone, and you demonstrate that faith in prayer. That's how you do it. That's how I became a Christian, and that's how everybody becomes a Christian. We pray and ask God to save us from our sin, which He's done through Jesus Christ on the cross. Now that I'm a Christian, I have the opportunity to pray and communicate with my Heavenly Father. But if I have unconfessed sin in my life, that prayer is not going to be answered. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So, let's assume you have a mental attitude sin. You were driving home on the interstate and somebody made you mad, somebody cut you off, somebody shot you the bird, somebody called you a dirty name, and you got all bent out of shape and your blood pressure went up and your ears started blowing out steam and your hair stood up on the back of your neck, and you got really angry. And you ran up beside him and shook your fist at him and yelled stuff at him, and then you went home. And you got the food on the table that your spouse prepared, and you bow your head and you say, thank you for our food today, Heavenly Father. That prayer is not being answered because you broke fellowship with God back in the car when you got angry and lost your temper. You see what I'm saying? It can be in church service. If two people hate each other in the church and the pastor calls one of them to pray, he may pray an eloquent prayer, he may pray a great prayer, and he may sound really spiritual. But it's not going to go any higher than the roof of the church building if he has unconfessed sin in his life or hatred and bitterness and animosity toward another person in that congregation. If you can't forgive that person, the prayer is not going to be answered. So anytime you get sin in your life, if you don't deal with the sin, the prayer will not be answered. So how do I deal with the sin? It's very simple. 1 John 1:9 is the rebound process. problem-solving device number one. If we confess our sin, if is a third-class condition, maybe you will, maybe you won't. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all wrongdoing. 1 John 1:9. So when you know you've sinned, you don't promise God you'll never do it again. That's ridiculous. You probably do it another 100 times. You just go to the Father and admit what you did. And don't try to cover it up. Don't lie about it. Don't act like you didn't do it. Go tell God what you did. Because if you do not go and admit the sin, you will come under discipline. It's called warning discipline, intense discipline, and maybe even dying discipline. In Hebrews 12, the Bible says, those that I love, I chasten, and sometimes I scourge them with a whip. And sometimes we've had earthly fathers that have disciplined us, and we gave them respect. Shall we not much more respect God and live? And live. God, as a child of God, if you are a child of God, he's not going to tolerate you as his child breaking fellowship with him through your own arrogance and not admitting your sin. He will discipline you for that unless you deal with it yourself. And so my suggestion, when you know you've committed a sin, if you want your prayers to be heard, then go and admit the sin to God first. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and then to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. There's another issue here. So before every prayer, you must make sure there's no sin in your life. And then you must use God's process for prayer. When you're praying, I was with a friend the other day, and he said, can I pray for you? And I said, sure, yeah. And you know what he did? Boy, he yelled out, Jesus! Oh, Jesus! And I kind of opened one eye and looked at him like, what's going on over there? And when he got through praying, I said, that was great, but that prayer is not going to be answered. And he looked at me like, well, what do you mean that's not going to be answered? And I said, because you don't pray to Jesus. You pray to the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Where does it say that in the Bible? Well, exactly where the Lord said, this is how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He prayed to the Father. We pray to the Father in the name of the Son and the power of the Holy Spirit. So don't be praying to Jesus or the prayer is not going to be answered. Pray to the Father. In John 15:16, whatever you ask in my Father's name, he will do it. That's the process for prayer. And then you have to use faith. If you don't have faith, what are you praying for? What are you asking for if you don't have faith? Listen to Matthew 21:22. All things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive, and that's faith. Believing is faith. Faith is a noun, believe is a verb. Same word, pistis in the Greek or pistuo in the Greek. One's a noun, one's a verb. So when you pray by faith, you believe God's going to answer the prayer. Unless you pray for something stupid, and I've done that before. I bet you have too. Don't be praying to win a new Corvette at the lottery. Don't be praying for something that's ridiculous. It's not going to get answered. You don't need it. And see, a lot of people do this. I've had friends that were big lottery players, and they've told me, if the Lord will let me win that lottery, then I'll give 10% of what I win to the church. Well, first of all, God doesn't need your measly 10%. And he's not going to cut a deal with you to let you win the lottery. So quit praying to win the lottery. You want to pray for something, I'll tell you what to pray for here in a minute. That's the wrong motivation. In James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motivation. You ask for the wrong reason. And that's not going to be answered when you're doing something stupid like that. So listen to this. They cry out, but he does not answer because they're arrogant. And God won't listen. Job 35:12. Job 35:12, you can't cry out in arrogance. That means you want to do something your way. Listen to me for a minute. Arrogant people justify why they're right and everybody else is wrong. And arrogant people get self-absorbed. They're deluded because they don't see themselves as they really are. They see themselves as they think they are. So if you're arrogant and you're upset about something And you go to the Lord and you pray and you say, God, show that person over there he's wrong. God, show him that I'm right. God, show him. It's not going to be answered because you're praying out of your own arrogance. God was in business before you got here. God will be in business when you're gone. He didn't send you to straighten the world out, I assure you. Handle your own business. Don't judge people. Don't stick your nose in someone else's process. Leave them alone and let the Lord handle it. But when you go to God and pray, that prayer is not going to be answered if you're praying in arrogance, assuming that you're right and everybody else is wrong, because that's what the arrogant person does. There's also another reason prayer doesn't get answered, and this hits home. Lack of domestic tranquility. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, honor each other so your prayers will not be hindered. If you're married and your husband or your wife, if you fight and you argue and you yell and you scream, you can forget about your prayers being answered because you're sinning when you do that. Your prayers will not be answered if there's no domestic tranquility. I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time. Wives who hate their husbands, husbands who are jealous of their wives, husbands who hate their wives, husbands who treat their wives like dirt, wives who treat their husbands like dirt, say nasty things, and then want to pray and ask God, especially if they get sick. You know, they get sick and have to go to the doctor, and then they start sending out letters like emails and Facebook and Instagram. Pray for me. Pray for me that the Lord will heal me. Not going to happen because there's no domestic tranquility. You're asking for other people to pray for you. Nothing wrong with doing that. I mean, it's legitimate for me to pray for you. But as you pray for yourself, you got to learn how to deal with your own sin and your own hatred and bitterness towards your spouse. So if that's one reason. Here's another reason your prayer won't be answered. You don't grow spiritually. So as a result of that, you don't even know what to pray about. The Bible tells you, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. So if you aren't growing spiritually, if that's not a priority in your life, you cannot expect God to give you what you're asking for. Okay? So we have a card I'd be willing to send you. It's a bookmark, and it's not very big, but it'll fit in your Bible. And it shows 10 reasons why your prayers are not answered, and basically what I've been dealing with right here. If you'd like to have it, just contact us. It's no charge. It's free. Don't send money. We're not asking for money. But we'll be happy to send you this. And on the back side of the card, there's the protocol of prayer that I want to give you before we close out today. Because protocol in prayer is important. And this is what you need to understand. If you're going to pray, God designed prayer to be done the correct way, to come to him in prayer, how to enter his throne room of grace. If you don't follow God's protocols, it won't be answered. So, number one, make sure you're filled with the Holy Spirit by confessing any of your known sins to God the Father, 1 John 1:9. And then when you pray, pray to the Father, not to Jesus, not to the Holy Spirit. And three, what should I pray? Well, there's the prayer of gratitude. Gratitude. This is where you give adoration and thanksgiving to God for his daily grace provisions. The Bible says in Colossians 4:2, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Have you ever prayed and thanked God for saving you? Have you ever prayed and thanked God for giving you life? Giving you an opportunity to represent him, to know him by his word? Have you ever thanked God for his justice and his righteousness and his grace? I mean, if you don't know God, how could you thank him? This is what's important. God said, I want people to know me and understand me. And a lot of people know God, but they don't understand the God they know. Do you understand what God is? Do you understand he's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutability, veracity? Do you even know what that means? You want to give some gratitude, thank that God never lies. He's veracity. He's absolute truth. Thank him for his immutability. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank him for his omnipresence, that he's with you wherever you may go. That's gratitude and thanksgiving, and that's a wonderful way to pray. And you can also intercede for others. You can pray for other people, like pray for your nation, pray for the leaders of our nation. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a very famous verse. It says, "If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their sin, then I'll hear their prayer and heal their land." The solution to what's going on in this country today, the chaos, is the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a politician that you can elect. I don't care who's in office, can't handle the problem. People have sin natures and they are no good. People are no blank good. And you can't change a person's sin nature. But once a person believes in Christ and receives Him as his Savior, you have an opportunity to change the way he thinks. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 12:3, "Stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think, but think in terms of humility as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word." God wants you to change the way you think. This means you think in terms of divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint. This means you acquire the mind of Christ. "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." How do I acquire the mind of Christ? 1 Corinthians 2:16. The New Testament is the mind of Christ. So if you're in a great local church that has a well-qualified pastor teaching you the Bible, and you learn it and you apply it into your life, then listen to what Jesus said. "Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it." That's what he wants you to do. Learn his word and apply his word into your life. So, intercessory prayer, praying for other people, completely legitimate. Pray for me, please. Pray for my radio shows, please, as we broadcast to over 100 stations across America. There's also the prayer of petition and supplication. This is where you can pray for yourself, or you can even pray for the food that you're about to consume. Ask the Lord to sanctify your food, 1 Timothy 4:4-5. If you're eating out, you should pray for the food, pray over the food that it doesn't make you sick. And so that's always a great thing to do. "Father, sanctify this food before I eat it. Set it apart. Protect me." And then you can pray for yourself, Hebrews 4:16. There's nothing wrong with praying for yourself, praying for your needs, praying that you could grow, praying that you would understand what's happening in your life, praying that you'd understand His will and direction for your life, praying that He would give you the ability to communicate with your children, to communicate with your spouse on a weekly and daily, monthly, hourly basis. I mean, there's so much to pray about in regards to self. Why do I pray? To get help when I need it. That's why the Bible says, "Let us draw near with confidence to the throne room of grace so that we can receive mercy and find grace in time of need." God is willing to help you. He's waiting to help you, but you're going to have to ask. He's not going to barge into your life and overrule your volition. He's going to let you make decisions. If you want wisdom, it starts with learning the Bible. And then you have insight and understanding to what God's will and purpose is for your life. So pray without ceasing. "Call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things," the Bible says. Turn it over to God. Let Him handle it. Be patient. Be persistent in your prayers. And God will answer in His timing. Maybe not your timing, but in His timing. So, if you want that prayer card, that prayer bookmark, then give me a shout. Send us an email through the website, rickhughesministries.org. Take a look at the other books that we offer, that we have available. They're all free. You can get us on podcast, on Apple Podcast or Spotify or Anchor, by just searching for The Flot Line. And you can hear The Flot Line Show wherever you go. 16 years of doing this, and I hope God will give me many, many more. And I hope that you're learning, and I hope you're listening, and I hope you're applying the information into your life. So I've enjoyed being with you today. I look forward to being back next week, same time, same place. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to write or contact us. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flot Line.
Thank you for listening to The Flot Line with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.